And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Zachary T. Gilbert. This is my co-host, Dan Ford. Happy New Year, Dan.
Isn't it a Happy New Year? Isn't it just wonderful? I love it.
We've made it to another year. It's nice. Yeah. And, you know, 2017, this is a year of positivity.
Charles, can't get worse.
The news came in yesterday. Charles Manson might die.
Yep.
That's a plus. So maybe this is the year everyone we hate dies.
2016, we had to make a lot of sacrifices so that in 2017 we could, yeah.
But it's all going to be worth it. A lot of assholes
That's pretty exciting. Who else would be in that category with, like, Charles Manson, a guy where we're just ready for him to be gone? Kissinger?
Gosh.
That guy's ready to go,
yeah,
right?
Kissinger,
like, he looks bloated. Yeah. Like, he doesn't look well.
I think we're ready for him. Maybe Rush Limbaugh, someone like that, you know? Yeah. And then, like, maybe, like, Greg Hardy does.
Oh, God. This is good. You know? This is good stuff. Yeah.
Solid year. Looking forward to it. But to ring in the new year, we had some fun bowl games this weekend. Well, maybe not fun, but they were games. There was one fun one, the Rose Bowl. We'll get to that. But let's start off with the two games from Saturday, or the two important ones.
Well, actually, can we start with the Orange Bowl? It did come on first.
Oh, yeah, the Orange Bowl was on Friday, I believe.
Which is weird.
Florida State, Michigan, probably one of the best games of the bowl season. That was a lot
of
fun.
And it was weird.
Cook looked like one of the best players in the nation, which we haven't got to see a ton this year.
Yeah, especially against that defense. Like, that was a hell of a defense to kick ass against.
So what is that performance? We'll kind of get into this later, but I feel like that performance kind of shows you how good the ACC is, and if you don't have the top teams kind of slip up, like we kind of had this year, compared to how, like, the Big Ten teams finished, it kind of shows the ACC is probably the best football conference.
Yeah, regardless of how the national championship goes, the ACC will finish with the best bowl record. They had the best out-of-conference record of any during the regular season, the ACC won more out-of-conference games than any other conference. They had a winning record against the SEC in head-to-head play. So it's kind of impossible at this point to not, you know, be – this is – and trust me, nobody finds it weirder than me. As an ACC guy, nobody finds what I'm about to say more bizarre than me. They were the best conference in the whole country. There was not one conference that you could say was better than them this year. And that is so weird.
No, I think top to bottom.
Because
– yeah. Top to bottom, you know, like – because I would even take, like – I look at a team like Georgia Tech. That's a team you could plug in a lot of different conferences, and they're maybe not winning it, but they're going to the championship game or finishing second. Like, I think you plug them in the East, it's pretty obvious
they won the SEC East.
I think you can plug them probably in the Pac-12. They're probably winning, you know, it depends on where they are, but they're probably playing Washington in the Pac-12 championship. And you put them in the Big Ten, who's to say they're not that much better than Wisconsin? And that's like the fourth or fifth best team in the ACC. But one ACC team was kind of exposed, and I think that's Louisville. I don't think Louisville's as good as maybe we had them.
I think maybe part of their issue was that their offense is all based around one dude. And once teams got a little bit of film throughout the season, and they kind of got a feel for, like, all right, this is what this one guy does. You know, Jackson has – how can we see what other teams have had success with? And how can we put a game plan together for him? They didn't have anything else.
No, and I think, though, you had to be pretty impressed with LSU's performance against Jackson.
That's a great sign for them going forward.
Looked like a totally different team, and even defense, than looked like against Wisconsin to shut down, you know, the best player in the nation, according to the Heisman Committee. Not really according to me, though,
about the ACC-SEC stuff. The SEC still recruits the best talent in the country. Like, if you look at recruiting rankings, SEC programs have better talent than anybody else, even now.
Is it too because some of these SEC schools might be a little bit easier to get into than, say, a Boston College?
Boston College ain't that hard to get into.
Even in Miami
got,
at this
like,
point?
Scholarship money coming out of high school to go to Boston College. That ain't that hard to get into. I think some of it...
I mean, have you heard Lamar Jackson talk, Dan?
It ain't going to be his grades that keep him out. Put it that way. It ain't going to be his grades. But I would just say that I think part of the issue, obviously, is that The SEC has a lot of really bad coaches in it, and that's sort of the thing hanging over all this, is that the SEC is just filled with really bad coaches who are not using their talent in optimal ways. And if they just
You know what, Dave, it kind of reminds me of I think of like the mid-aughts in the NBA when you had all these horrible GMs, like, not properly signing talent, getting the wrong talent, putting talent in the wrong place to succeed. SEC kind of reminds me of that right now. Like, tons of talent there, but no one really knows what to do with it. Except maybe two
and,
or three.
And it also reminds me a bit of the Big Ten in the 2000s. Because I think I made this analogy on the show before, but the Big Ten in the 90s was the best conference in college football. And then they got in this weird rut of like, well, you can't coach in the Big Ten unless you've got Big Ten experience. And so pretty soon you looked up and every single Big Ten coach was a dude who, you know, had a cup of coffee somewhere in the conference as an assistant, and you just ended up with a bunch of like dunderheads who were unwilling to try anything new. And I think that's where
we're seeing in the SEC, mainly the East right now. Where we have, what is it, three former Alabama assistants?
It's just crazy. That,
all coaching
and Jim McElwain, he's going to spend the next year on the hot seat, especially with Chip Kelly now available. Yeah. That guy's just a mediocre coach. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I see no evidence that guy is able to. He is so lucky that Butch Jones is in the same division as him. Because Butch Jones is out there taking all that bullshit that probably should be going on him, too.
And that'll be coming towards Kirby Smart next year if Georgia doesn't start off.
So. Yeah, the only difference is that McElwain has a year head start on all those guys. Like, he's been there an extra season to not make anything better than his predecessor.
Yeah, but anything else besides the playoff games before we get into those that kind of grasped you from this weekend? You know, Friday, Saturday, or Monday?
I am kind of...
Because I think we've got to talk about that Rose Bowl.
The last thing I want to say about the Michigan-Florida State
game is... The best Rose Bowl
is,
I've ever seen.
Michigan has major offensive line problems, and not to spoil what we're going to talk about with one of the playoff games, I think the Big Ten as a whole maybe isn't as good on the line as we thought they were. Because one of the patterns with the Big Ten in the bowl games is that Big Ten teams kind of got dominated up front.
No, even, you know, if we jump to the Cotton Bowl really quick, even Wisconsin at times was having problems with Western Michigan and getting a pretty solid penetration a couple of quarters. Yeah.
That's not you're not playing Alabama. When Western Michigan is making happen.
Yeah, and it's not even, say, you ran into Utah, which had a bunch of, you know, strong Samoan guys on the defensive line.
Yeah.
This is Western Michigan. Like, there's not a ton of great athletes here.
Although,
so
that does bring up another thought. The bowl committee kind of got some shit from some people for not giving Western Michigan more credit. The bowl record kind of proved why. The MAC finished dead last, 0-6 in bowls. There's a reason that they didn't get a lot of credit for winning the MAC and running over all those MAC teams.
But I think Western Michigan did deserve their spot, and I think, you know, they played well. I guess there was a few
mistakes. I mean, they deserved their spot, but like there were some people like, why aren't they in the playoff discussion? Because they shouldn't be.
Well, because you saw what happened to Washington, double that, and that would have been what happened to Western Michigan. It's Alabama, so I think that's a good segue into our playoff games. I think we'll start here, Washington, Alabama. This was our closest game, oddly enough, a game a lot of people didn't think would be very close.
It was close,
and it wasn't
quarter.
That close, but Alabama just, that's kind of the theme with Alabama this year. It seems like they kind of toy with you or... don't know what to do, and they just kind of finish you off with just brutality. Because it's hard to play against those big bullies for four quarters, and eventually Scarborough's going to get a run, and that's what happened in that game. 70-plus yard run, and Alabama kind of put it away.
And just sort of on a...
I thought this game, though, exposed the quarterback play from Washington. I think we kind of see Browning as what he is, and that's a game manager. Not a guy who's going to win any games for you.
Yeah, I sort of thought... you know, if we're going to talk about who really got exposed, I think what got exposed the most is that Washington, and by extension the Pac-12, there's just not that much physicality up front. Like, they were not prepared to play a team that tough up front on both lines is Alabama. And I, you know, we talked about Wisconsin, how Wisconsin kind of played around with Western Michigan.
Western Michigan.
I think Western Michigan could have at least held up a little bit better than Washington did, because I think they are a little bit tougher up front, even if they didn't have a great game.
Yeah.
And some of that may be that they weren't that excited to play Western Michigan. You always got to keep that in mind. I just don't think Washington anytime soon is going to be ready to play one of these teams, because they just don't have the big boys. Alabama dudes are like hardwired by Saban not to talk shit. And even them after the game were like, man, they're just not, like, those guys are soft. Like, they just ain't, we ain't used to playing guys that soft. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it kind of shows you why if USC can get back on track, they will
kind of dominate.
So before we do get to Clemson, Ohio State, let's actually talk about USC, Penn State. That was probably one of my top three bowl games of the season. Really loved that game. Penn State and USC going back and forth there. I believe the highest scoring Rose Bowl game.
I mean, at one point, Penn State scored on four straight plays. Four straight plays! That's nuts!
But, I mean, and USC fired back, and I have to wonder if USC kind of played better at the beginning of the year. If you put them in the playoffs and they're playing Alabama again, I think it would have been a little bit closer than
Washington. It makes you wonder if Sam Darnold started the whole season. Does their whole year go differently, you know?
So I don't want to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and kind of circle USC in my top five.
I don't want to. Obviously, you know, they kind of made me look dumb during the game, but it is what it is. I mean, that team, they're bringing back Sam Darnold. I have a hard time thinking Sam Darnold's not going to have another good year.
And much like Alabama, they do reload very quickly at USC. So there's no shortage of talent flowing in there. How do you feel about Penn State going forward?
I mean, that's the team
Do we like them to maybe repeat?
I think they could. I think they definitely could, because Michigan is going to actually lose a number of really quality players off their defense. Mm-hmm. And Michigan, you know, going back to that Florida State game, their offensive line is not good. And, you know, if you listen to some of the Michigan bloggers and the people who are really well connected with Michigan, they'll tell you, the last few years of Brady Hoke, the offensive line recruiting was especially terrible. Like, Brady Hoke wouldn't know an offensive lineman if it walked up, slapped his wife, and kissed his sister. Like, he don't know what an offensive lineman even supposed to look like. And if they can't start getting that mess figured out in a more satisfactory fashion, you know, well, I mean, obviously Jim Harbaugh is going to get that figured out. His team has him and Drevno, the offensive line coach, they've got a track record of being able to recruit. But they gotta figure it out how to make do with what they got until their guys become upperclassmen. And until that happens, you know, we might just see them struggle just because they don't have the guys to do what they want to do offensively, because they want to be a pound the ball physical team, and they just don't have the linemen to do it.
So, but let's jump into our next playoff game, though. We mentioned the Big Ten. I want to talk about this one real quick. Ohio State demolished against Clemson. I think Clemson showed why they are the 1A or 1B, whatever you want to say. They're one of the best teams in the nation. No one deserves to play Alabama again in a rematch than Clemson. They've been a team on a mission. They had a couple of slip-ups there, but the SEC, as we said, can get kind of tough.
That's the thing. When the season was going on, we were like, oh, Clemson, they're underperforming. And then by the time the dust settled on the season, we looked back and went, no, they weren't underperforming. Their league's just awesome. You know, it was a minefield schedule. It was the kind of schedule that back in the day SEC people used to say, well, shit, you make it through an SEC schedule every week, you're playing a top team. And that's what Clemson had to deal with.
And it's kind of like people point to Alabama being down at halftime versus Ole Miss. It's just sometimes good teams don't play well.
I think that was kind of an indictment of the kind of team that Alabama is, though. Like, and that's one of the reasons I'm picking Clemson, is that Clemson is basically what if Ole Miss was built the same way but actually good.
Yeah, and we'll get into that later, but let's focus, though. Why did Clemson dominate Ohio State?
Well, on a fundamental level.
So Ohio State didn't put
a fundamental level, and it's something we kind of, you know, You can go back to our Big Ten preview. It was the reason why we were both down on Ohio State from the beginning of the season. They can't throw the ball. They cannot throw the ball on anybody. If they are Auburn with a better defense. That's Ohio State this season. They can run the ball like crazy. They can run for 300 yards on a lot of teams. But if they've got to throw the football, they're kind of up the shit creek. And Clemson is incredibly fast on the edge. And Ohio State's trying to do all that edge run stuff and try to get that corner. And the corner wasn't there because there was a Clemson guy there ready to fucking hit you in the face. And,
So Clemson looks dominant in that win. But Ohio State going forward.
Yeah, they've already let go of most of their offensive coaching
staff. Are they back? Like, I believe...
Yeah, Tim Beck is gone.
I believe Barrett's not back.
Barrett
right?
is going to be playing somewhere next year, and it might be Ohio State. Some people are saying he might transfer to Texas. Although they did have Texas had a pretty good quarterback this year, a young guy. So I don't know if they really have an opening spot there. But Barrett has already said he's going to play somewhere, so he might be doing a grad transfer to.
Yeah,
I mean Auburn. He's an upgrade over what Auburn's got.
Yeah, we got our guy. Look, we're good.
I'll remember that a year from now that you turned down JT Barrett.
But you know what? After that game went on Monday, we could use all the quarterbacks possible. So if we got a suit of six, let's do it. Because when you're down to Jeremy Johnson and John Franklin, you're really in trouble.
Just Ohio State. If you cannot throw the ball, you're really going to be struggling to beat a team like Alabama or a team like Clemson because. You can't just go back there and try to run the ball every play. And the other thing we saw is that Clemson's offense is just a step above anything Ohio State was able to play and beat this year. Which is and Ohio State had a very good defense, but Clemson's wide receivers are so good. Deshaun Watson is so good. And, you know, during the regular season, Clemson wasn't running Deshaun Watson a whole lot in a lot of games. They were trying to save him for this exact situation. And when you're having to deal with Deshaun Watson throwing darts to really tall, really awesome wide receivers, and then he's also going to run the ball, that's difficult to defend. Ohio State couldn't do it, and Ohio State couldn't do much of anything offensively. Which, I thought Clemson's performance was so dominant that I don't see, especially given some of the stuff we'll talk about a little bit later, how you can't pick Clemson to win the national championship. I feel like they're the favorite. If they lose it, it's a big shocker to me.
Yeah, and we'll get into that game and all the details in a second. But real quick, we've got West Coast West back. So let's jump to me and him in the Power Hour Spin Zone West Coast room right now.
And welcome to the NFL Roundup. I'm Zachary A. Gilbert. I'm here with West Coast West. How are you doing? Welcome back. A little two-week vacation for you there.
It's good to be back, Zach. And, thanks for having me. It's 2017. Yeah. Do you feel any different already? We're 3 days in.
I'm still looking for the flying cars. Been looking since 2010. Haven't seen them.
Well, you know, they have the hoverboards to some extent. I've seen the children with the hoverboards. It's not.
It's got wheels. Does it count as a hoverboard? That's.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's all a sham. This life. Yeah. And what
that's
we were 20,
talking about. It's just all fake.
It is. Oh, well. We've got football.
Yeah, speaking of not fake, got the NFL, and definitely not fake, Aaron Rodgers finished the season, was it 6-0?
Yeah, it's funny how that worked out, huh?
Yeah, funny how one of the most guys in all the ads, his teams made the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just amazing how the guy was having a horrible year, or a down year, and the team was no good. And then all of a sudden, they turn it around just in time for the holiday season and the playoffs. Do you think there's anything fishy about that?
No. I've never seen a phantom roughing the passer call on Aaron Rodgers. When he scrambles out of the pocket and runs into a runner right after he throws the ball. That never happens.
Let me ask you this. Like, how long has Aaron Rodgers' calf injury been a thing? It seems like every single week. You got to watch Aaron Rodgers out there, this warrior. He shows no signs whatsoever of any sort of injury, let alone – I mean, it's just a bunch of nonsense, but maybe I'm off.
Well, you know what? It could be, though – you know when your calf falls asleep when you're sleeping sometimes and you wake up and it kind of hurts really bad?
Yeah.
He could have that every night. So it could be like a slight, mild pain that she get over in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, at best. Yeah. I think it's all a shame. I think this is something that's been crafted. But I mean, I won't say anymore because I know there's some powerful people that listen to this show, and I don't want to get you kicked off the air more than anything.
I don't want to get in trouble. Yeah. Well, let's move on. Let's kind of glance over what happened the past kind of couple of weeks while you were away, and not much in terms of the playoff picture, except for some major quarterbacks getting hurt, especially in Oakland.
Yeah, brutal blow to the Raiders, and really to all of us in terms of the viewing experience, because now we have one more team that we thought was going to be a threat and isn't a threat really at all. The replacements aren't exactly up to par. I mean, that's why I went away. I knew I could feel it coming in the air. You know, you step outside, it's colder out, and you get that premonition, something bad's about to happen, and down goes Derek Carr. Down goes big Marcus Mariota. Down goes, I guess Tannehill stayed out. But the point is that it all went to hell, and it's made for a less exciting postseason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially if you're Oakland, you went from a 2 seed, which pretty much a home game until the AFC Championship probably, to you're playing in the Saturday wild card round away in Houston.
Not only that, but it rests on the shoulders of Matt McGloin and Connor Cook. Let me ask you this.
Two Big Ten legends.
Exactly. If you had to be stranded on a desert island with either one, I mean, which one would you pick? It's a tough choice, and not in a good way.
No, it's a tough one. Who's bigger?
That's my angle, too.
Yeah.
I think Cook is. He's a pretty big boy, if I'm not mistaken. 6'4",
That's good eating. Yeah, Cook.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. Which one could you fry up and make last longer? Because other than that, it's like, yeah, Jesus, I might as well just go drown myself in the ocean rather than live with either one of these two.
Yeah. Speaking of drowning yourself in the ocean, let's jump. We're going to jump back to some other news, but I want to preview this first game first. The yearly Texans Saturday afternoon wild card game. Oakland at Houston. Houston, 3.5-point favorite. News came down today or yesterday, I can't remember. Brock Osweiler is starting for Houston.
Great. Well, you know how we feel about Houston on this show. Yeah. Houston in prime time in particular. Now, it's not technically prime time, but I guess any playoff game is at this point. Yeah. And I don't know. We were talking about this off the air, but this should might as well be a check your local listings sort of game. You're better off if you're an ABC or ESPN putting something else on, maybe a little bowling, maybe some soap opera reruns.
Maybe Xena, Warrior Princess, some syndicated programming. George Michael's Sports Machine.
Indeed. And rest, by the way, RIP.
RIP.
You could throw on the best of George Michael, throw on the Sports Machine, follow it up with Xena, follow it up with Silk Stockings, one of those USA shows, cut a deal. Do anything you can to keep this game off the air. It's not going to be any good.
Yeah. I'm not very excited about this game at all. This is going to be, I think, the over-under sitting at about 37.5. I like the under here, and that's a really low over-under. This could be like a 10-7 game. If we're lucky.
I think the most optimistic thing we can come up with here is just some sort of chaotic game where the play is so bad that a lot of points end up getting scored on turnovers and things of that nature. Just complete incompetence on both sides of the ball. And that really sucks for Oakland because they've got a good team. But if you watch them this week, it doesn't look like it anymore. It goes to show that an incompetent lead man at the QB position can really bring things down. Now, I don't know about you. I'm still going to go ahead and pick the Oakland Raiders because it'll be a cold day in hell before I ever pick the Houston Texans in a playoff game. But you may have a different view on this.
Any other circumstance, I wouldn't pick Houston. But when it's Matt McGloin and Connor Cook, give me Houston. Does that defense is, I mean, you know, people forget, you know, Clowney's kind of back. And that defense doesn't look too bad. I think the defense makes a play and Houston wins.
It could happen. It's scary to think of. Imagine being a Raiders fan right now, and I guess they're used to disappointment after several years of not even coming close, but really, you think you have it this year. I mean, we've talked about it. This is the year where a team could come out of nowhere and really make some noise. They look good at the 2 seed. And who knows what happens if you get yourself into one game with New England. Maybe they can pull it off, and now you're looking at hitting the fast-forward button to the next season, quite frankly.
Yeah. But, you know, we bring up, you know, Houston. The hot rumor, though, is if Houston does lose, they will fire their head coach. And he would join a nice little pool of coaches who got fired recently. I think we start off with this one. I don't think we've discussed this. Rex Ryan out in Buffalo. Our boy Gus Bradley out. Looks like Kubiak's out, not fired, but kind of fired, maybe. Not really sure on the story there, really. Mike, the coach in San Diego, fired. And then we have the L.A. coaching vacancy. I don't think I missed a firing there. Oh, and Chip Kelly, our boy, out in San Fran.
Everybody out in San Fran. Everybody who shouldn't be out in San Fran is now out, and they're still left with Jed York. Which one of these coaches, in your opinion, if you had to pick one, or even two for that matter, if you feel strongly enough, which one of these guys is undeserving of being fired right now?
If we're counting Kubiak, probably him. It sounds like there was a lot of weird pressure from L.A. to do some things in that front office.
Yes, sir.
If we're not counting him, I guess Mike, the coach in San Diego, because I don't really see what he did wrong besides having his players get hurt.
Yeah, that's one where I hate to say it, but losing to the Cleveland Browns when they did might have been the final nail in the coffin. Yeah. And it goes to show how one game can truly swing your fortune.
If you're Hugh Jackson, do you throw him like a spot on your staff next year for like losing that game and keeping his job?
Oh, I think you have to. I think if Hugh Jackson has any sort of soul whatsoever, he'll reach out to Mr. McCoy and either give him a position or at least a gift card to a local restaurant, because that is the case.
Applebee's. But like if it's Applebee's, like $75. That's enough for like four Applebee's visits.
Yeah.
Big time Applebee's visits. Yeah.
That's where you have your pick of the menu at Applebee's. That's a nice gift card. So yeah, I'm with you there. But I think for me, McCoy, you make a good case. I do think Chip Kelly is getting the short hand. You can't really justify the record overall, but you kind of have the feeling that I don't know if anyone would have succeeded this year with the San Francisco
49ers. No, I think Kelly's hurt more by his personality. I think Kelly just belongs in college. So this will start my new favorite rumor for next year in college, though, Wes. Where's Chip Kelly going to end up?
I don't know. I've always heard that Chip Kelly isn't fond of college anymore, but you're right. It seems like that's the only – if he wants to be a head coach, at least. I can't imagine him landing anywhere else in the NFL at this point, not after Philadelphia and San Francisco ending the way that they both have. But, I mean, what does he do? Take a year off and just eat? I don't see anybody putting him in the broadcast booth, nor do I think he would want that sort of position.
No, you know what? Notre Dame. There you go. Oh,
so go Kelly for Kelly and just
yeah,
make the switch.
You trade Kelly's. You just go down. You go down a front. So you go from B Kelly to C Kelly. Plan C, if you will. For Notre Dame, and you get your NFL coach. That's what they want there, the guy who is an NFL guy.
Well, not only that, but you get a guy who, because we haven't been fooled by the Notre Dame lore for quite some time, this school of class and prestige. I mean, that just hasn't been the case, probably ever, but it certainly isn't now. And so why don't we just abandon all that, get rid of all that, bring in Chip Kelly, a guy who's been known to play the system a little bit, and let's take Notre Dame football to a different place. Let them be the convicts as opposed to the Catholics. I guess you can be both.
Well, with Miami, with Coach Rick there, you know, they're kind of good boys now. So
20 years later.
Little double turn, yeah.
Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. This show, in your mind, it's a gift. Big fan.
We're booking. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we think happens with some of these open jobs, though? Like, especially, is Sean Payton going to move? Is he going to one of the L.A. teams?
You know what? I think now's the time, finally. After years and years of Sean Payton rumors, I mean, he's kind of the Gruden light. He's the Gruden who's employed, basically. Oh, Sean Payton. Sean Payton has interest here. Oh, they're thinking about giving Sean Payton all the money in the world. We're going to trade Sean Payton. You think Sean Payton ends up in, say, the Rams position, bright lights? Los Angeles, or what do you think?
I think Sean Payton stays in New Orleans.
Okay.
I think John Gruden stays on Monday Night Football, and I think they both masturbate to Drew Brees every night as they go to sleep.
Yes, yes.
That's
put him on speakerphone. I believe you're right about that, actually. It just seems like these are names that get floated all the time. As we've touched on, it's not a true coaching search until the name gets floated. And we already have Gruden out there. We've got the Peyton rumor slowly starting to creep in. So you're right. Nothing will happen at all. And we'll just end up with a bunch of defensive coordinators being hired.
Which of these jobs is the most desirable to you? Maybe besides Denver, because that seems pretty obvious. But
oh, boy. Well, Buffalo seems to kind of be falling apart. I mean, now Tyrod Taylor isn't happy, supposedly, and for all the talent that they have, maybe that's not so attractive. Plus, it's Buffalo. I mean, does anybody sign up for Buffalo, really?
No.
When it comes down to it. So I think
you've got to be like a 6-year free agent who's flamed out on a second contract already.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Mario Williams. Yeah.
Right. Right, a Mario Williams situation. What do you think about Jacksonville as an odd pick? I know that sounds crazy, but what do you think?
I think so, but I think you have to stick with Bortles another year, and that sucks.
That does. Yeah. That does.
Now, if you have balls, sure. If you go in there and you say, hey, no one's taking this Watson kid yet, let's go with it, then yeah.
This just seems like there's a lot of talent to be worked with there. And for me, on the surface, I don't see anything that the 49ers have to really get excited about right now.
I think the Chargers job, I think you can come in, you can win right away in L.A. You can take all the attention from the Rams and put it on you like that. You've already got Phillip Rivers. Maybe Keenan Allen doesn't get hurt next year. I think maybe Gates is coming back. You've got Gordon, a really good running back. That receiving core is good. That line's not horrible. You've got a pretty good defense. Like, if I'm Sean Payton, I would really take a hard look at the Chargers' job. Like
Danny
that
Woodhead
a lot.
Back. They're getting Woodhead
maybe.
Back.
Depends if the Patriots draft McCaffrey or not. That's what.
that's true. McCaffrey really is the deciding factor as to whether or not another short white man will be brought in. Although, you know, Christian McCaffrey, 6 feet tall, but he doesn't really seem like it, does he? He seems like a scat back slot wide receiver.
With deceptive speed. Yeah. High IQ.
Oh, yeah.
Hustle guy.
Great character guy. Truly a sportsman on and off the field. You know, all the coded language. But
the guy you take home to mom.
Of course. Of course.
As your gay. This. When you come out to your mom as an NFL scout.
Now we're starting rumors. I mean, I'm not saying there isn't any smoke to this fire or whatever the phrase is. But, I mean, we better be careful once again. But it's out there now. It's out there now. So we'll follow up on this one in 3 months, I'm pretty sure, when the draft comes around.
Yeah. Let's just say we've got some pictures in there. They're pretty shocking. But we got to talk to Coughlin first for those to come out. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get the clearance and then we'll go at it full steam ahead. But I'm with you on the Chargers. I mean, that hasn't been a bad team for a while. I mean, we're talking about a playoff team and a lot of talent. I guess what you're saying is we still go with Phillip Rivers, and I'm not going to argue at all. I like Phillip Rivers.
No, I think maybe go with Rivers and maybe draft a guy in like the third round. You kind of do the Cowboys situation. Then if Rivers gets hurt, rookie can play his way into the starter.
Yeah, get your heir apparent. Do some preparing for the future, unlike the Denver Broncos.
Or like kind of what you did with Rivers and Breeze in the first place, and I don't know if you necessarily picked the wrong guy.
Yeah. No, I don't.
That situation.
I think it worked out for both parties, to be honest.
I know Breeze has a Super Bowl, but I'm not sure the NFL didn't make that happen on purpose. Stay woke right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're more behind-the-scenes stuff. But it's tough to say. You can't just say, well, if Drew Brees, I mean, look at what he did for the Saints. It's a circumstantial thing in a lot of cases, and so you can't just flip roles. But that's probably – I mean, that definitely is the most attractive job in terms of success now. But I like Jacksonville as a dark horse team if you want to
– Yeah. Denver I might want to avoid. I don't know if I like Elway as my boss that much. And with that quarterback situation, it's pretty murky. Like, even if you get a guy like Romo, he's going to get hurt, and then you're right back where you were. So it's just – that's a job I'd kind of avoid. It looks attractive, but don't jump in there. It's like a hot, crazy girl.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody with a brain is going to take a second and evaluate this girl and say, well, a lot on the surface there to like, but – let's just think about it for 5 minutes and move on.
Yeah, whoever takes this job is really horny to be a head coach.
In that NFL sense, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe like the Mike Smith rumors. Like he hasn't had head coach sex in a while. He's this hot, crazy, drunk chick at the bar, goes home, And then like 6 months later, he's like, oh my God, what did I just do?
Spent all his money. All his money's gone. You know?
He's got a drug habit. You know, weed. He's got a weed habit.
He sure does.
Out in Denver. It's yeah.
Mike Smith, the thirstiest, if you will, of the NFL coaches. looking for some. And yeah, I think Denver's going to give it to him. But I'm with you. I wouldn't want to work for John Elway. And look at this situation. We're coming off a championship win. Granted, they've fallen on hard times, not making the playoffs. But it isn't like you don't have a lot to work with there. And it isn't like it's unreasonable that they won't be back next year in the playoffs. And yeah, we're going to go ahead and make some full sail changes. I just don't see the logic in that. Yeah.
And like I said, that's a tough division. You know, because sure that you know, we said Chargers, good team. So are the Raiders, and so is KC. So
let me get a hot take from you. The toughest division in the NFL right now?
Easy.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, better than because the top to bottom, it's just so much better.
Yeah, there isn't a bad team. There's not a bad team there. Yeah.
But let's move on, though. Our second playoff game on Saturday. Detroit, Seattle. Seattle favored by 8. But Wes, I believe you've got something for this game. I believe you have a scouting report from our boy, Jeff Fisher, on Detroit.
Well, I mean, what he told me in an off-the-record conversation that I'm going to put on the record is he loves the Sanders kid out of the backfield. I mean, this kid is quick. He can move. He can get around. Herman Moore out of the wide receiver position is always reliable, dependable. You have to have eyes on him at any given time. Loves Joey Harrington and what he's been able to do at the quarterback position. Loved him at Oregon.
Good IQ. And he,
yeah.
And you know, Joey Harrington, can play the piano.
He can play the piano. I mean, there's the dude that's going to bring home Christian McCaffrey. That's what's going to happen. I'm pretty sure. But
and he gets the Johnson kid, wideout.
Oh, yeah. Megatron or whatever the hell his name is. That kid's a hell of a specimen. And
Optimus Tron.
That's right. Yeah, I like what I see from him. The kid can play ball. So, yeah, with all those weapons, it's tough for me.
And anytime we've got Ty Detmer back there in the backfield, it's just, you know, kid can throw.
Yeah.
And good character guy, you know.
Yeah. Another guy that you wouldn't mind if your son grew up to be just like Ty Detmer. I mean, it is.
Or if your son took Ty Detmer home, you wouldn't be very upset by that one either.
No. If that door opens up on prom night and Ty Detmer walks through with your son, I mean, Jesus. You hit the jackpot for sure. So they've got some studs. You know, Chris Spielman's a hell of a ball player.
And the kid. Really like it.
Yeah, Nick and Demajin Suh. I've heard a lot about him. Haven't seen the tape yet, but Fish likes him overall. So I mean, it's tough for me to imagine Seattle beating this team. Eight points. I mean, that's a lot. That's a high spread. I know it's a home game, but seriously, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, Detroit hasn't been good.
Detroit these past couple weeks has had the chance to really prove that they're a good team. They belong. They can get a home game, and they choked the bed 2 weeks in a row against good teams, mind you, but didn't really show up. Seattle's had injury problems. They've kind of limped into the playoffs here, but Russell Wilson's a pretty good quarterback, and good quarterbacks win, and Detroit teams don't. I like Seattle to win comfortably.
I have been hesitant on my team, quote unquote, all year long, but in this particular case, the fact that it's at home goes a long way. Wilson's probably as healthy as he's been all year long. The offensive line is still one of the worst in a league full of bad offensive lines, but they seem to be able to put it together every so often. So maybe we get one of those situations. And I just think that with all those things in mind and with Detroit on the downslide. Now, if you ask me this question, I mean, if this game was played and it's the Lions of, say, Thanksgiving week, then I might have a different take. But for now, you know, especially with Jim Schwartz or Steve Mariucci or whoever's coaching for the Lions, I just don't see it happening. Not this time. Yeah. Not that I think Seattle's going anywhere afterwards, but I'll give them this week.
Yeah, I like Seattle here. I like him to cover, too. I just don't – I don't like this Detroit team at all.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just Stafford being hurt has really hurt a lot of things or what, but they just haven't showed up when they were supposed to. So I haven't proven anything.
Look for an interesting subplot with Golden Tate making his return to Seattle after some sort of, as they say, a miscommunication in terms of relaying their contract offer. I mean, I think what came down to...
When he cucked Russell Wilson's wife?
Hey, you know, I don't... Well, yeah, that is probably what happened. That is probably what happened, as we hear, and that probably got him out of Seattle. And so, you know, they can say all they want to about, well, the contract was a little bit off, but at the end of the day, it was who he wasn't going home with Ty Detmer. He wasn't going home with Joey Harrington or Christian McCaffrey. He took home the wrong.
Well, maybe Russell Wilson should have learned that you should have sex with your wife every once in a while.
That's true. That's true. And look how it all works out. In the end, this girl isn't even a part of the equation anymore. So nothing but losers overall, other than of course Russell Wilson, who just upgraded and started fornicating. It's a good story for him.
And speaking of losers, on Sunday, the Dolphins travel to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh favored by 10, I guess. I know Pittsburgh's good, but I don't know if I'm sold on this Pittsburgh team.
The question that Does I that always sense? Have, it makes more than sense, because I just never know. Like, we haven't gotten a feel as to whether Pittsburgh is ever really that healthy. I mean, it seems like they are, but then again, you get performances on a weekly basis that are inconsistent. They start to put it together, and then they start to fall apart a little bit. I mean, I still like him here, because I just can't pick a Matt Moore-led Dolphins team. More is less, as I like to say.
Yeah.
But what do you think? I mean, can they do it? Is it possible that the Dolphins...
The Dolphins looked pretty good against them earlier in the year, and they have a good defense, and they have a pass rush, which can hurt Roethlisberger, especially if he's being immobile. But I don't know. I don't touch this game if I'm gambling. I'm not sold on Pittsburgh. I'm not Miami. We don't know with Matt Moore. That's a good way to not pick something and not look wrong, but I just don't know. A coin.
Gun to my head, I go with Pittsburgh just because of really past experiences more than anything else. I mean, we don't know. Is Jay Ajayi, however you say his last name? I mean, it's
Jay Ajayi.
Okay.
G-G.
Yeah, I like that. J-A. The point is he a big postseason back? I mean, is this a team that has no experience whatsoever in the playoffs? So they don't have anybody they can turn to. That's not the worst thing. Maybe they come in and they play footloose and fancy free, and they drop 34 on the Steelers and beat them at the last second. But
anything could happen in this game. This could potentially be the most fun game of the weekend.
Yeah, it's a sleeper fun game.
Yeah. Well, and this weekend's really going to be not very much fun.
Yeah. It's pretty much up for grabs. If anyone wants to take a game and make it exciting, we'd be very appreciative of it this week.
Well, yeah, and this next game is probably the one most people would say is the most exciting. Sunday, 4:40 on Fox, the Giants travel to Green Bay. Green Bay favored by 5. I love Green Bay here, and I think Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, and they blow out the Giants and just keep winning. That's what happens.
I like Aaron Rodgers to stay pristine and perfect in this game. That calf is going to be fine. Nothing wrong with his body overall, functioning properly. I like him to be exquisite in this game. Maybe one of the best games of his career in front of that Lambeau crowd.
I don't think Jean-Pierre Paul is going to have one of his nubs get stuck anywhere in Aaron Rodgers or anything like that.
No way. No how. I mean, this is the marquee quarterback matchup of the week, sadly enough. It's Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, and we never count the Giants out in these situations. I mean, I think that if there's one team that you'd pick to go on the road and play a hot Green Bay team, it's probably the Giants, because they don't seem to care about circumstances like this.
I think of these are the two teams, unless you're a fan of these teams or work for the NFL or Fox or whatever, You want to kind of see both these teams lose. I think everyone's kind of sick of Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers and the Giants coasting through the regular season and like winning the Super Bowl as a sixth seed. Like, we're just maybe it's just me. I'm just tired. I'm tired of these two. I want some fresh blood, baby. Even if that's Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, that's fresh.
No, it's not just you. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. Unless you're a Giants fan or a longtime Packers fan. or a fan of these quarterbacks. They do exist, apparently. I can't see anything attractive about this game. And this game just screams Fox with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. And there's nothing good about it. If we ever wanted to implement...
Who's gonna have their dick sucked the most? Eli Manning or Aaron Rodgers by the end?
Oh, boy. Well, you figure it starts off pretty even early on.
Yeah.
You know, both guys getting their fair share of the of on-air fellatio, as they say. But I think in the end, it's going to be too much Aaron Rodgers for them to resist. I mean, it's just going to be too much of that Lambo, that those fist pumps after a TD. He's going to cut some corny promo after the game about heart and determination in this team and their resiliency throughout the year, and that's just going to send Joe Buck over the edge. I mean, it could get ugly. Well, don't let your children watch this game.
I put more money on this. Eli having, like, throwing two picks, and then the announcer sucking his dick even more.
Just, I mean, this guy tried to will the Giants, and you know, yeah, that's just a great pass right there. His receiver's got to make a play to get that ball. And,
well, like, he usually doesn't do this, folks. We don't know what happened. So Eli Manning never has a bad game with the best receivers in football.
Eli never comes downfield with the game on the line and tosses away a ball to end the game in a situation where it was very much winnable. I could really see that happening. I mean, I think you said
Eli would never waste the prime of one of the best receivers of his generation
and score
like 20 points a game with an offense that any other quarterback would probably score 30-plus with.
That could very likely happen. I think it's the most likely scenario. A 5-point spread. Let's just imagine, if you will, Green Bay up 27-21, but the Giants somehow get the ball back with a minute 40 on their own 45-yard line. Eli's got to drive him half the field, and he throws some ridiculous pick that gets snatched up in the end zone, and that's just like the end of a game that you didn't even want to watch in the first place. It's going to be utterly deflating. Stay away from this.
And then he makes a face, and then like an assistant comes by and like takes the bugs out of his mouth and then tries to close his jaw.
Yeah.
And that'll be...
That's it. That's it.
But that'll be wild card weekend. Has there ever been a good NFL wild card weekend? Because I feel like the last exciting one was like 1999 or whatever with the Titans and the Buffalo Bills. The Music City Miracle.
Yeah.
It was like the last time there was a fun wild card weekend.
Hell of a game. I remember watching that vividly to this day. But you're right. I mean, I know around here that the Saints-Seahawks game that happened ended up being exciting. But on paper, I don't think it was. I mean, that was a team that barely crept into the playoffs in Seattle and ended up surprising the Saints. I think you're right. This is a week where, I mean, we're getting to the good stuff. So it's not like we're trying to turn the listener off from the NFL altogether. Just survive this week if you can. And then you know what?
It's actually kind of polite by the NFL to kind of have a bad weekend, because it's kind of college football's weekend with the Monday game. So just, you know.
That's true. That's true. Just give it up for 1 week. Save all you've got for your divisional rounds. And, of course, lead into the Super Bowl strong. I mean, once again, we love Roger Goodell here, and he can do no wrong.
No, never. But as we get ready to kind of wrap things up this week, any last kind of final thoughts on the NFL season? Oh, and breaking news that came out earlier this afternoon, actually. David Johnson going to be A-OK. If you saw that knee injury on Sunday. But
that is good. So we're talking about just a minor injury that isn't going to...
A sprained MCL, which looked like his kneecap exploded there.
Yeah, so that's pretty positive considering how it looked. But good news. Also, good news about Pac-Man Jones getting back to what he does best and being involved in an altercation. I mean, the world's not right unless he's out there doing damage on the streets or roughing up a security...
Paralyzing guard, a person or just...
thoughts on the NFL season, you know.
But I bring up David Johnson when I say that. My final thoughts kind of, David Johnson should be MVP.
You've been consistent with that all year long. I know that.
Yeah, I think he just had the best season. And on a team that wasn't very good to put up those numbers. I mean, he averaged more yards per catch than their leading wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, it all comes down to how you define MVP. And I think you make a good case. If you just take it out for what it is, most valuable player, what does your team do without David Johnson. I mean, they had a bad year as it was, and he probably...
Yeah, that's probably a two-win team without the year David Johnson had. And they ended up winning, what, six or seven?
Probably, yeah. Somewhere around there. And I mean, I don't know, you could make a case for somebody like what do you think the Raiders would have done without David Carr? I still think they would have won more games than Arizona without David Johnson. Let's put it that way. Falcons without Matt Ryan. I mean, there's talent there enough to get you, again, probably six wins, seven wins. So you make a strong point, my friend. I wouldn't be opposed to them bucking the trend of just, you know, whoever's kind of got that press momentum, if you will, whether it's a Matt Ryan or a Tom Brady.
It's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it is going to be Aaron Rodgers.
They can't give it to Brady because he's a cheater. They can't give it to Matt Ryan because he doesn't have commercials. So Aaron Rodgers wins. That's what happens.
Yeah, why do we even have
these discussions? This is the most woke NFL podcast going, people. They do something. People get on the NBA. I'm going to go on a side rant here, Wes. People get onto the NBA about fixing games and giving preferential treatment. NFL's just as bad. No one just talks about it.
It's worse. It's the best kept secret. It's something that no one wants to admit. I think people, if they're willing to be honest with themselves and take a look in the mirror and really understand what's going on, they'd have no choice but to determine exactly what you just said. Again, we come back to Aaron Rodgers, and he's the source of all that is ill in this world. And obviously, conspiracy after conspiracy linked to Aaron Rodgers, not least of which is MVP this year when the team was all but cast aside early in the year. It just worked out a little too well.
No, and
I agree.
And you jump to like even Drew Brees at times gets a lot of phantom, you know, roughing the passer calls.
Mm-hmm.
When I remember, even as a Falcon, like even back in the Vic got a lot of phantom roughing the passer calls too.
Yep.
Stay woke. As you watch the playoffs, watch some of these things.
Yeah, if nothing else, I mean, if you want to entertain yourself, if you want a different side of the NFL, look at the game within the game, as we like to say here.
Yeah.
Look at the things that don't show up in the stat sheet, and you'll educate yourself pretty quickly.
Yeah. You'll see some pieces, put them together. Stay woke.
That's right, it's a puzzle, folks, and all you have to do is use your mind. You are in control of your thoughts. Use them.
Don't let... Take that hammer and throw it into the big video screen of Roger Goodell talking.
You goddamn right. Shatter the glass.
Yeah.
Break the ice.
Just do it.
I think we're out.
Bye, Macintosh.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. As far as the NFL season goes, I mean, masterfully played by the NFL. Early on, you generate a little quote-unquote negativity in supposedly the NFL sucking, only to turn it around. I mean, that was our theme this year. We were on.
You're throwing two ties.
Could there be a more obvious play by the NFL to make things look quote unquote bad? We've got ties every single week. I mean, this thing is going straight to hell. All during the election cycle, just stay under the radar. Let that whole fiasco play out, and then up your game when it matters the most. And they did it. I got to give them credit.
People are really bummed about politics. Then you get really fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm about sick. I'm about sick talking about what they've done. But, you know, it's in our blood, so we always come back. And that's why this wild card weekend, as bad as it is on paper, we'll both be watching most of all four games.
Oh, yeah. And buying State Farm insurance, baby. And drinking Bud Light with their team can on it.
Yeah, damn right.
Like, I think the beer sucks, but it's got a Falcons logo. So I got to.
You gotta rise up is what you gotta do.
I gotta rise up, and I gotta drive my Chevy truck, and I've gotta use Auto Trader to buy my Chevy truck, and use State Farm to pay for it.
You sure as hell better support the troops the entire time.
Oh, and support the fucking troops.
The Sincerity Podcast with Zach. It's coming to your ears right now.
I'm getting more cynical, but I'll really miss football when it's over, but... Get kind of fed up with some things with the NFL, getting the playoffs.
Don't worry. We'll have everybody covered because the NFL isn't all there is to football, obviously. We've got ourselves a hell of a spring league. We'll have a draft where we can really break down the prospects. We've already broken down Christian McCaffrey, some of the intangibles. Some
skull size. some eugenics just really mix it all in there.
Yep. So yeah. We'll be good. The season never stops here. And
but before we get in more trouble, let's jump back to me and Dan.
All right, Dan, and we're back. So there we go. Things got a little wild there at the end of the roundup. But hopefully we don't get in too much trouble.
If all else fails, maybe our dear leader here at Half Guarded can sell our podcast to InfoWars, and then we can become their first sports podcast.
We can finally get Alex Jones on.
Well, the Longhorns can't win because of their treasonous behavior.
Pizza
treason, treat Satanists. They worship Satan.
But Dan,
speaking of people who worship Satan,
speaking of Nick Saban, but let's jump. We're here. We've been building all year towards this. It started last year around this time. I thought we would get this rematch all year. I think you can go back on record, and I have Clemson, Alabama in the championship. I've been waiting for this game for 365 days, Dan. I'm excited. Clemson, Alabama, national championship game. Forgot where it's being held.
Tampa.
Held somewhere in America.
The strip club capital of
Raymond
America.
James Stadium. Yeah. But here we go. To me, this feels like we're at the tail end of the Alabama Saban dynasty. One of the greatest dynasties in modern college football history, especially in this millennium, versus what I think is the new dynasty with Clemson. I think Dabo's built up a really nice program here, and if things don't go too wrong for him, I think we'll see Clemson back in the playoffs a lot over the next decade. So I'm really excited for this. This feels like one of the biggest national championships in a long time. I don't know about you, Dan.
Especially given this week, we're going to hear a lot of stuff about Lane Kiffin. I feel like, especially if Alabama loses, you're going to get inundated with every weird thing Nick Lane Kiffin's done over the past 3 years, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
They're going to go hard throwing Kiffin.
This is
going to
be entirely his fault.
Kiffin will get blamed for the loss if it happens.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Alabama this week did not look good offensively. I think that might have contributed some to Lane Kiffin being sent home early, we'll put it that way, euphemistically. Offensively, Alabama doesn't. I mean, this Alabama team looks a lot like the Ohio State team that Clemson just torched. This is not an Alabama team that's as good as the one that beat Clemson last year. And frankly, last year Clemson had a little bit of a we're not used to being in this kind of game, a little bit of jitters, played kind of crappy for the first half. Came on strong late, wasn't enough, ran out of time. If they play that game against Alabama 10 times, they might have beaten Alabama 6 or 7. And then,
well, but they
you only
play
once. But I think so, that Clemson team, I think that Clemson
once,
team
so
might have been a better team than Alabama in a vacuum, and they just weren't ready to play in a national championship game.
Yeah, but that,
and then
they weren't
this
better
year,
than
you've got that's a worse matters. Alabama team.
This game, when we look at it, I think it really comes down to this. It's going to come down to that Alabama offensive line versus that Clemson front seven. And can Alabama get the push with their four great rushers, including their quarterback? And it's just, can they wear Clemson down and get those two or three big running plays that can seal it away? Because I think this is the first game.
Here's the thing.
I'm going to say that at times does struggle with running quarterbacks, but in recent memory, his teams have done pretty well.
Last week, that was one of the things in the Washington game, is that Browning had a lot of room to run, and he just wasn't a good enough runner.
But some of that is maybe they gave him that room to run because they knew he would.
But Alabama. I just think Clemson's a terrible matchup for Alabama because the things that Alabama really prides themselves on, like, we're not going to let you run the ball. And it's like, okay, yeah, we don't care. We're not going to try. So, yeah, great. Take the runaway. That's not really what we do anyway. You know, we're going to,
Yeah, but I wouldn't underrate it. I feel like you're underrating some of the athleticism on the Alabama, especially the front seven. I mean, these are guys who can make
I don't think
plays
it'll matter because you're leaving your cornerbacks on an island all day long, and Clemson's just going to pick that apart, I feel.
Yeah, well, you got to trust Saban a little bit more to come up with something scheme-wise. I think, to be fair. Do you feel like this is a close game, or am I thinking maybe these teams?
I think Clemson's going to win this thing 21-6.
Thinking there is.
That's my final score. I think Clemson wins this thing easy. I think 20-21, 24-6. I don't see my big thing with this game is I don't know where how Alabama gets points. Because I mean, this is going to be the thing.
How many interceptions has Deshaun Watson thrown this year?
I mean, you're not. Are you going to be able to run them back? Because
I got to remember at the same time, Clemson really hasn't faced a defense necessarily as hard hitting as this one's.
And they just beat Ohio State.
And the only team,
you know, Ohio State's comparable.
Well, but not that much more.
Ohio State's secondary was better than Alabama's this year.
No, but I meant more on the front seven. Like
front seven wise, that's not.
I don't think you've run into an offensive line as tough as Alabama's.
But that's not who Clemson is anyway. Like that's not like they're not a team that's like, well, for us to win the game, we've got to dominate the trenches and run the ball between the tackles. Like that's not their game.
No, but Alabama needs to run the ball. But if Alabama ball controls and runs the ball all game,
I don't think it'll matter because they got it. How is Alabama going to get to 21 points? Because they're going to have to get to at least 21 to win this game.
I don't think they can get to 21 easy. I think you're underrating Alabama.
Their offense is very bad. Like, their offense is just run left, run right. Their quarterback can't throw. They can't stretch you deep. And we already saw Clemson against Ohio. I mean, we just saw Clemson play the same type of team. And they manhandled them.
Not really. You've been criminally underrating Alabama.
Their offense is not good.
Like, I almost want to pick Alabama.
Their offense is bad. It is a mediocre offense.
They're clearly good. Dan, how many times have I been right and you've been wrong?
Alabama's offense is not good. It is a bad offense.
They have a very good running
offense. It's not. It's a one-dimensional offense.
But it's worked.
Because their conference isn't that good.
And they beat USC.
USC with a different quarterback. USC's defense isn't very good.
And Clemson at times hasn't looked so great on offense. Like I think even back to that first game of the year, they didn't look so hot against Auburn.
It's how you're playing now. They've been tearing the roof off people for like the past 5 weeks. Like you talk about stuff in week one, and I don't know how much you can really extrapolate that to the end of the year.
This offense is prone to mistakes.
They're not really. I don't think prone to mistake. They're really, really aggressive. Like they're gonna take their shots, and if you pick it off, fine.
What happens? But they when don't. You're aggressive,
but
Dan,
they
aren't you
in their offense, they don't consider that a mistake. They're just like, well, that's a byproduct of being aggressive. And with their interceptions, the thing about Clemson is rarely does their interceptions get run back for like a pick six or something because they're deep shots.
But they haven't faced athletes.
They've played Ohio State. These are teams with great athletes. Like it's just when you're throwing the ball deep, when you get intercepted, like they've got to run. It's basically like a punt. They've got to run through your whole deep offense to get back. The teams that give up a lot of pick six.
You're criminally underrating this Alabama
rushing. It's a good running team, but that's all they've got. I'm just saying in modern college football, when you're one-dimensional and you don't – like this team is not that great at getting big plays on the offense. Like they were able to do that to Washington. Washington's not at the same level as Clemson. Like that's just not relevant.
But at the same time, they've only had one game all year where they had to make plays on offense, and they won that game.
Every time they played a good defense, they got shut down. Every single time.
I mean, but they didn't against Auburn.
Auburn's not a great defense. it's not a great defense. Like, LSU shut them down.
I mean, it's...
LSU's
a great defense.
And LSU shut them down! Like, Alabama didn't do anything on LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, they won that game like 13-0, right? Or 16-0, and it was all defense.
I just think you're criminally underrating Alabama. I think you've let your ACC bias show all year.
Here's Alabama's thing. They're in a conference where there's not a single team in their conference that's both good offensively and defensively. So when they played a team like Ole Miss can light up the scoreboard, but Ole Miss can't stop you, me, and nine of our buddies from scoring. And so, yeah, Alabama was able to win a shootout with Ole Miss. Clemson ain't Ole Miss.
Well, and Ole Miss can't run the ball. You can't get
Ole Miss,
a lead on
Ole Miss
team
can't
like
hold a lead, and they can't play defense. So, like, that's a game where Alabama can play a shootout with. And then when they played LSU, LSU's offense isn't very good. So they were able to just completely stifle them.
Yeah, but I feel like this is – I just – This is a very smart Alabama team.
Is it? Their quarterback's a freshman.
You look at the numbers.
Like, their quarterback is a freshman.
The defense, not everyone, but not everyone on the defense is a freshman.
I'm not saying, no.
I think these guys know what they're doing.
I think Alabama's defense is going to be good enough to hold Clemson to 21, 24 points. They're not going to totally shut Clemson down. Clemson's just too good.
No, but I don't think I don't think it's fair to say the offense.
I think this offense is not good enough to beat Clemson. I don't think this offense is good enough to score on Clemson.
I think when you look at the numbers, Dan, I think if you look at the numbers, sure.
If you look at the scouting, how is this quarterback going to move the ball on Clemson? How does this team, scouting-wise, move the ball on Clemson?
How's Clemson going to tackle Scarborough?
He's a dude. He's one dude. And if you're able to play your whole defense and commit your safeties to charging down the field at him, because the quarterback can't make you pay. Yeah.
He's one dude who's also only their fourth leading rusher. Alabama can keep throwing bodies at Clemson.
They can't do that against Clemson because Clemson's too good.
Well, can they, though?
They're too talented.
I think we just find out Monday.
They're too talented. They haven't proved it against teams that are better offensively than Alabama.
They haven't proven against Alabama.
They've beaten better. They've held better offenses than Alabama in check.
But I'm just saying, what have they
done?
They
beat the best conference. They won the best conference in the country.
Where's the ring?
They have a champion. They have an ACC championship ring, which is a much tougher conference.
Oh, yeah, it's cute. But
I mean, the thing is that LSU proved that you can stop Alabama, and Clemson's better than LSU. So.
I think maybe, but we don't know how Clemson is going to perform in this game.
I'm not looking at numbers. This is a scouting argument.
But I'm talking about scouting.
I'm talking about film. I'm talking about what's in the film room, and I'm looking at Hurt, and I'm like, how is that guy going to do anything against Clemson?
I look at Hurt, and I see a playmaker.
I see a true freshman who has done okay because he's in a conference that's not that great.
I see a guy who can make a play when his team
I haven't
needs
seen him
to
do that yet. I've seen a guy who has sat and not screwed it up while his defense has won games. And he's finally going to be in his game.
He's finally going to be in a game where he's got to make a play.
He's going to have to win this game.
What games has he won this season?
Name me a game on Alabama's schedule where they needed him to win it and he went out and won it. Ole Miss is trash. Like, Ole Miss is a trash.
They needed him,
Look at how many plays Wilton Spate made against Rutgers this year. Man, that guy's all American.
I mean, look at what Deshaun Watson. I mean, that defense looked really good against Pittsburgh.
Their offense.
Does Pittsburgh have a better offense than Alabama?
Pittsburgh has a better offense than Alabama.
They don't have more talent, but they're better.
They're better coached. They got a better quarterback.
Matt
Canada and Lane Kiffin is not even a comp. That's not even a contest.
I know. Well, one has a ring and one doesn't.
One got to be Reggie Bush's ball washer, and the other guy was coaching for Northern Illinois.
While I still like Clemson to win this game, I think you're criminally underrating Alabama. I see Clemson winning.
Oh no, Clemson's going to score at least 20. See, that's my big reason why Alabama. I don't see how Alabama wins this game is I don't know how Alabama scores 20 on Clemson. Alabama's going to get their 20.
I don't think Clemson scores.
Alabama's going to get their. Clemson's going to get their 20. Like because Alabama, it's just such a bad matchup for Alabama.
But this is an Alabama team that's taken advantage of mistakes all year, and this is a Clemson team.
But it's an aggressive team. It's an aggressive team, and that's what you have to beat Alabama. Aggressive teams torch Alabama. The teams that Alabama chews up and spits out are conservative teams that think you can just run the ball and throw short, controlled passing because they won't give that up.
I disagree, and we got to think about the in-game factor here, though. Because Washington should have known that going in.
They just don't have the
ball.
I mean, they just don't have the horses. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I think Dabo's not the brightest cookie either.
But he's got the best. But Dabo's got the best assistant coaching staff in the country because Dabo intentionally takes like $1.5 million less than any other coach with his win-loss record so that they can pay his assistants.
I could just see maybe Dabo thinking, oh, I'm a man. I can run on
no,
this team.
No, they definitely won't. Because Dabo, if you cut Dabo open, he's like, I would just want to throw the ball every play. Come on, let's just throw the ball. No, like, that's who Dabo is.
I think you're just underrating Alabama.
I'm not underrating them. I think I'm properly rating them. I think we're living in a – I think we've lived in a year where everybody has anointed Alabama because they're from the SEC, and look how many times they've won it, and they've ignored the fact that this is a very pedestrian offense that's about to play a battle-tested, battle-scarred Clemson team that has been down this road before, that just about beat a much better Alabama team last year, and has the best quarterback in the country, who is 10 times better than anybody Alabama's played.
I think it's going to be a fun game. I think it's way closer than you think, but give me Clemson catching
and six. I will add, because if this is the next, this is the thing that put it over the top where I'm like, all right, I'm willing to say, if Alabama wins this game, Nick Saban is the greatest head coach in the history of college football, because this week, Monday, he had to fire his offensive coordinator and replace him with Steve Sarkisian, who started the season on Fox, standing next to Greg Papadopoulos, whatever that guy's name is, the Greek guy on Fox. He was going to be that dude's understudy this year. Now he's the offensive coordinator with 1 week to get ready. I'm sorry, Brent Venables is going to eat this offense alive. And I think Clemson's defense would probably dominate Alabama anyway. But when you throw in that you're going to have an offensive coordinator who's never called a play in a game in over five seasons, this is his first one. And he's going to have to get through to a freshman who has spent all year with Lane Kiffin being the voice in his ear. Now he's got to get used to a totally different guy who's not, I mean, Sarkisian's allowed to be in the film rooms, but he's been an analyst. He's not allowed to actually physically coach the guys. So you've got a guy who hasn't been talking to you all year, who's now going to call the plays in 1 week. It's crazy to think Alabama's going to be good.
Well, I wonder if he's really calling the plays, or I'm interested to wonder how that really works.
But even if it was the quarterback's coach, they'd be at a disadvantage.
Oh, for sure. But I think Saban's still got final say.
I mean, Saban's not an offensive guy. Especially this kind of offense.
Yeah, but he's also
Saban's going to scream, run the ball.
He can understand.
But
yeah, but I really hate when people do this in sports where they say, well, he's an offensive coordinator, he couldn't coach defense. Well, of course he can. If he can fucking coach defense, you know how to coach offense. Like, it's just,
I don't know.
That's how it works, people.
I mean, like, Nick Saban is not going to be saying,
if you study defense, you know, but you know it works against the defense if you study defense.
But, like, specific,
these people who don't think you can fluidly move, I just never got that take from people. It's like, you don't have to be a defensive coordinator your whole life. It's like, you can switch to offense and do
pretty. I mean, nobody's really done that. So when you say it.
Well, we're seeing it right now in the NFL. I believe Raheem Morris went from defensive coordinator on the Falcons to assistant.
Really? I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
He was an old Tampa 2 guy, wasn't he?
I think it just kind of proves something I've felt. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, he used to be in Tampa Bay.
He was, who's the guy at Illinois now? He used to coach with the Bears. Yeah, he used to be a Lovie Smith assistant, wasn't he?
I believe so, like a big Tampa 2 guy. But my main point in this is Saban could call an offense.
I don't think he's not fine.
He's not an idiot. But he's not Les Miles. This guy's a little bit more cerebral.
But he's just not an offensive coach. Like, if you ask him to call a game, he's probably just going to scream run left and run right. Like, he's just not.
Well, see, that's not fair, because clearly Saban clearly.
It's not about smart. It's just like you only have so much time in a day. Like, there's one coach in the history of football who's been able to call plays on offense and defense. That's Tom Landry, and that was 40 years ago when things were a lot less complex than they are today.
Who I believe is related to Nick Saban's coaching tree.
I don't know how that's possible.
He's from let's...
Like, Dan Reeves is the Landry superstar.
Well, no, Saban was with Parcells.
Parcells is not on the Landry tree.
Parcells comes from the Landry tree?
Parcells is a totally different family, Paul. That's 3-4. Parcells is the 3-4 tree. Landry was 4-3 or die.
That's right. I'm sure one of those guys that was Parcells' boss at one point
I mean, the Landry coaching tree is basically Dan Reeves and Mike Ditka, and that's it. that's the tree.
All right, but your final prediction for this game, you think
24-6.
I'm gonna say like 13-6. I think we're gonna get a defensive struggle. I think we're gonna see turnovers.
If that's how
a quick game.
If that's the score Alabama can win, Like, here's how Alabama can win. If they get every bit of turnover luck, so they can maybe, like, scrape together 17 or 20 points based on turnovers, or if it's just a low scoring, you know, they can win a game like 9-7.
I think I'm interested to see how they pressure Watson and what they do. I'm really interested to see their game plan for Watson.
They weren't able to do that. They weren't able to do that last year, though. Clemson scored their points.
Yeah. So yeah, but they have a whole year to get, you know, Saban's thinking about this in his head. You know, like I said, this is, to me, it's probably the most cerebral coach in football, of modern football history. A real cerebral assassin is Nick Saban, if you will.
Nick Saban,
the game. Nick Saban. The King of Kings.
I mean, there's somebody King in Alabama who has Frey. No, he's an Auburn fan. Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
All hell.
All hell. But I think this game is gonna be. I think it's gonna be a fun game.
I yeah.
How about that? I just want to have fun watching the last college football.
Wait,
game.
Wait, isn't there another one? Isn't there one more bowl game after this? Like, isn't there something in Birmingham?
No.
Like between the third place MAC team and an FCS team?
No, that isn't. Well, the only other bowl game is the AFC South.
This may be me thinking back to before the playoff, but back in the day in the BCS, there used to be like the Birmingham Bowl would be played after the national championship, and that always made me laugh.
But I want a fun game because last year's game was a lot of fun, and I want to see that again.
I mean, if it's fun, that would be cool. Don't think it will be. I think Lane Kiffin has fucked us out of a fun game. That's my belief.
Well, that's not all.
Yeah, that's not all he's fucked. That guy got divorced for a reason.
But Dan, as we get ready to wrap up this episode, we start to look ahead. What were some of your favorite moments from last year, 2016?
Oh man. 20. I would have. Yeah. I would say the thing that people forget. Is that going to be yours?
You know, well, the thing people forget is that the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in probably the best NBA Finals of the modern era.
I mean, people.
Like when I say modern era, I mean since I've been born in like the late 80s.
Wasn't there the Spurs? The Mavericks Heat. That was my favorite.
Mavericks Heat. Fun, but this to me felt like two titans going at it. LeBron, the storylines for this game were great. This finals to me was so big because I had people at work who didn't watch basketball that were into the NBA finals this year. Because you've never had a matchup that was mouth drooling for NBA fans and pretty interesting for non fans.
It was the winningest single season team of all time versus the biggest star in the NBA over the past 20 years.
Coming home to his old team, which he abandoned, to win a title in a city that hadn't won a title in, 50 plus years.
Against the best team in NBA history. I mean, it just had everything.
Yeah. And he did it down 3-1, a lead that no team has ever blown in the history of the fun. It was the fun year. You know, it was a fun year in the NBA last year, and I think it's going to be another fun one. The Olympics. Yeah. Nothing went wrong.
Everybody was safe.
Pretty disappointing.
Well, I'm sure some guys got. I'm sure some people got an STD because it's the Olympics.
Yeah, except Ryan Lochte. And then you know we had a World Series where we saw the Cubs win for the first time. We got all those videos of like old people crying.
Old people were able to die in peace. What's his name? Theo Epstein established himself as the greatest baseball executive ever. He won it.
Maybe the greatest sports executive. Well, second, RCB Buford.
He managed to win at he broke the streak in Boston and Chicago. That guy, I mean the Cleveland Browns should hire him. Fuck it. Didn't the Cleveland Browns hire the former GM of the
Paul DePodesta? Yeah,
DePodesta. Paul DePodesta, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
The Dodgers, guy who he was Billy Beane's lieutenant in Oakland, and then he had a really bad job with the Dodgers.
Jonah Hill.
He's Jonah Hill,
right?
Yeah, so Jonah Hill had his name changed in the movie because DePodesta was like, "I'm not fat. I don't like this. Don't change that guy's name. I don't want people thinking I look like that."
But I think this year, though, when I think back to things, Dan, I think back to 2016. I think this will be the year that we remember that Ronda Rousey and the UFC.
If you're talking about, I mean, Hey, this is our MMA. This is our MMA corner. Talking MMA.
Talking MMA.
Right, yeah. The UFC got bought by a bunch of Hollywood people who may not know what the hell they're doing, who has seemed to have fired everybody who worked at UFC behind the scenes. So I'm not quite sure why you would buy a company and then fire all the people responsible for making it successful. That isn't the first thing I would do if I bought a successful company. Hey man, give it to the Fertittas. They sold out at the absolute high point. This was the biggest year in UFC pay-per-view history. And there is no way they're going to have a follow-up to it. So it's like, catch out, man. They are the guy who won a ton of...
And then they're probably going to bring NFL football
they're,
to Las Vegas.
They're like, and speaking, you know, this is, they are casino owners. They're the dude who had like a hot 30 minutes at the blackjack table and then had the sense to quit. Just like, you know what? Get the hell out. Ronda Rousey, probably done. Probably never going to fight again. McGregor, he's just one man.
Will be in a lot of action movies that I watch.
McGregor's biggest fight is probably not going to get made because it doesn't seem like Dana White wants to work with George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the biggest fight they got and they don't really have anything even close to it. And, Ronda, they had two big draws and one of them's gone. Did you see that fight?
Yeah, felt like this was the last big
fight. Did you see that fight?
For UFC this year.
The Ronda fight?
Which one? Rousey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the GIF after.
Oh,
I didn't pay
well,
money,
did you get the version with Edmund's audio? Like somebody had a GoPro next to Edmund?
Yeah.
Like, I've watched that about 27 times. Head movement! Head movement! Head movement! Oh, God.
But Dan, as we get ready to get out of here, I think previewing to next week, we're going to recap the whole year in college football. We're going to take a look ahead at recruiting, I think, maybe a little peek. Little peek behind the curtain to see where maybe some things are falling, as some guys have already verbally committed, which we know will mean nothing come February when those guys go to a different school at the last minute. We'll take a look at that, and I think we need a fuck you of the week, so fuck you of the week. You know, Brett Musburger, fuck you.
Man.
Retire. You old jerk.
Brett Musburger, I'm going to defend him just because so many announcers are terrible, and he actually has, like, the chops. But come on, ESPN. Like, I'm madder at ESPN. Like, come on, guys. Like, why did you let the old man?
Well, they've been trying to hide him away on the SEC network. And
like,
they
why did
known
you let the old man editorialize? Time. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, don't let that happen.
Well, they let Bobby Bowden editorialize. So ESPN's just letting old white guys.
But it's so there. Because they handled the it's Minnesota easy. Holiday Bowl so well, and then they botched that all the hell.
Really, I thought they did. Yeah. So yeah, that's gonna be my. You know what, motherfucker, Bobby Bowden. Let you know what guys have earrings doesn't mean they're gay or feminine or anything.
Look, Bobby Bowden is like 85, and he's probably the greatest head coach in the history of college football.
Well, you know what? You know who else was old? Dude?
Look, he actually wasn't. Wasn't he dead by like 49?
Well, when he faked his death.
Sure. Yeah. He's still alive in Argentina.
When Aaron Rodgers went back in time and stopped him from killing himself. People forget that. Say woke.
Never stop. Never stop being woke.
Yeah. Oh, and next week maybe we'll get Dan to watch an NFL playoff game.
I don't know, man. I might be busy catching up on New Japan. I'm probably not going to be able to catch New Year's Dash tonight, so I don't know. That might.
I think we're going to assign Dan to watch that Raiders-Texans game report back.
Oh, God. You'll
love it, Dan. If
will there
like
be
watching.
Japanese guys doing maneuvers to each other?
Kinda.
Is Derek Carr going to show up and do a running knee? He's just going to running knee some dude in the face?
You'll have Mike Tirico there.
Speaking of creepy play-by-play guys.
Who I'm glad this may have went away, but last week, me and Wes, before our audio got messed up, we may have called him out about certain allegations. So let's be glad maybe that one was lost to time. But yeah, Dan, I think next week, gonna be fun. We're gonna recap everything. I'm excited about this national championship game. I hope for a good game and a good kickoff to what was a fun season in college football. All right, we're back. We had some technical difficulties, and before we get out of here, Dan.
Oh, play the music, Jason.